Scarcity, the game of winners and losers. "Grab any seat, Susie. Quick, grab any seat," shouted little Susie's mother. And soon would come Susie's first lesson in scarcity. How did it start? Susie was all excited about going to her very first birthday party. She had on her new blue dress along with her black Mary Janes. She was going to be with all of her friends from preschool, at a party with clowns and games. There might even be some new kids to play with, her mother said. At the party, she asked her mother if she'd be staying with her. "Of course, honey, I'll be here. Just go ahead and play with your friends." Off Susie went to run around, chasing her friends in a game of tag. Susie knew her mother was somewhere in the distance, keeping an eye on her. She was careful not to scuff her shoes too badly, but, oh, this was so much fun. Suddenly, Mrs. Turner announced that it was time to play some games. They all gathered under the covered area closer to the house, where a string of chairs were all lined up, some facing one way, some facing the other. "Skip around the chairs, children, all in one direction until the music stops, and then sit in the closest chair." So off they went, skipping happily to the music. And when it stopped, Susie saw a chair and sat down. Others scampered around looking for a chair to sit in, and when the commotion was over, Andy was still standing. Mrs. Turner said, "Okay, Andy, you're out of the game." Out of the game? And then the music started again. This time, Susie didn't want to get too far from a chair facing her way, skipping along but searching for the next available chair. Again, the music stopped, and she was safe. She had a chair. But Jessica didn't, so she was out of the game, too. This went on for a while, with the pressure mounting as there were fewer and fewer children, and even fewer chairs. And suddenly, there were just two other children and two chairs. The music started, and Susie could hear her mother chanting, "Grab a seat, Susie! Quick, grab a seat!" The music stopped, and Susie was left standing. She had tried to get into a chair, but Petey had pushed her aside. She looked over to her mother for a clue of what to do or how to react. All she could see was either disappointment or disinterest. She didn't know which, but it didn't feel like good news. She hadn't been fast enough. Moments later, Peter would almost knock Missy to the ground as he twisted his body onto the last chair and claimed the prize. Petey was the winner. Susie and all the others were the losers. Whenever I ask women where they get their notions and negative emotions about money, I always hear things like, "Oh, I don't remember, but I know I had a really normal, happy childhood. I didn't get any negative messages from my parents. So I don't know where I might have picked up this habit of buying things on impulse." Yet from the day we start interacting with other human beings, usually starting with our mothers, we're gathering messages in our still-forming brains. Up to the age of 6 or so, we're functioning in our subconscious brains until our conscious brains kick in with a growing ability to judge right from wrong, true from false. Yet in this undiscerning phase, each of those messages registers in our brains as truth, unless and until something comes along to disprove it later. And the majority of the messages were not meant as they seemed. Most came from adults unaware of the impact they were having, with just a gesture or a comment or a tone of voice. If you're wondering why you have certain money behaviors that don't seem to have any rational source, you might want to spend a little time thinking back to beliefs that are sitting quietly in your brain, just waiting to be disproved or dismissed. The first one is the belief that everything in life is based in scarcity. And now you know where it may have come from. Can you think of any others? Let me know in the comments section below.